1400, the spirit of today's gospel.
The spirit of today's gospel.
The following is a paid program. The views and opinions expressed are those of the program sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Spirit 1400 and its management.
Well, hello there, and we want to welcome all our listeners to the Truth in Love broadcast. We are live this Saturday afternoon. We hope you're going to stay with us for the next 60 minutes and join with us by calling into the station, starting us off with a subject or a question that you want to talk about. If it's of a religious nature, give us a call, and we will discuss it with you and our listeners to try to get to the truth. We're all about the truth on this program, and we find the truth in the Word of God. We're going to give you a book, chapter, and verse to help explain what you are concerned about or what you want to know more information about. We want you to be a student of the Bible, just like we try to be, and we want you to know the Word and then be equipped so that you may be able to teach the Word as well. The number to the station is 410-481-1400. Encourage you to call in early. Our lines are open right now. Cindy's waiting for your call, and we'd love to have you call in and talk with us. You can go on the air. Sometimes we need you to be a little patient because we'll be put you on hold while we're taking other questions. If you don't want to do that, that's fine, too. Cindy will write down your question. We'll get it and read it back over the air, and then hopefully all turn in our Bibles and investigate the truth. We do believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. That's where we go to get truth. That's where we go to get answers. That's where we go to settle opinions. We all have opinions, and oftentimes when we're out there, we can't trust what other people think, say, feel, even what we read in the newspapers, even what we read on the in the internet, because it's so rife with opinions. We want to know what the truth is, and we turn in the Word of God to do that. In Glen Burnie, at 2 Eastern Street, we meet with a group of Christians, and we'd love to invite you to come join with us. We do get together on the first day of the week, as we see the early Christians did, to worship God. And you can join with us to do that at 2 Eastern Street. We get together at 9:30 for Bible classes, 10:30 for a worship service, 6 p.m. again on Sunday for a worship service. If you can't make the morning service, we'd love to have you at any of the services. It's always encouraging when we get visitors that come in and say, oh, I was listening to your radio program and it was intriguing, and I want to see what group of Christians meets together that puts on a radio program like this. And we've been on the air 35-plus years, bringing you the same opportunity to get resources, to study your Bible, to get questions answered, because we want to ring out the message here in Baltimore. And it's not about what we feel is right and what we want you to believe. We don't have an agenda. Our agenda is that you may be a Christian serving God in the way that God wants you to serve. And we want to help you along your path, your spiritual path. And we do that in a number of ways by offering you a Bible, offering you the opportunity to call in your questions on this show, offering you to meet with us and to worship with us, or have Bible studies on your own. We want to offer you that all free as well.
And, you know, one of the things that Nick was talking about, we've been on the air for about 37 years now, and we don't do this for the good of the church at Glen Burnie. We realize that we're way down south, and the large number of you who listen can't make it down there or don't choose to make it down there. But we still want you to know the Bible, and that's what we're all about. You know, the other day we received an announcement from a church that was giving away free cars. And as we look at this, Nick just put this thing back over here, and they're going to give away 3 free cars, and isn't that wonderful?
They're starting a new church, and this is kind of like a promotional thing.
Well, yeah. So everybody come, you can get a free car. So they're motivating people with greed. And that's not how the church that the Lord Jesus Christ instituted wanted to draw people in. But what we're trying to do is what Jesus Christ wanted us to do. And, you know, nearly his last words on the earth. If you look at Matthew chapter 28, they're the last of that. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That's what we're all about. And so the reason that we've been on the air, even though it doesn't benefit the church at Glen Burnie necessarily, now we do have a large number of members who have resulted from this. They've heard this program and have decided that they want to take advantage of the free offer, and that is the gospel. All you have to do is want the gospel, and that's what we're delivering. We're delivering the Word of God. And so you're not going to get a free car if you come to visit us.
You know, a lot of those visitors, when I talk to them, they're curious to start with, but they usually have an issue with the church they've been going to. They see something in that church that doesn't quite jive with what the Bible says. They don't quite feel right about it. They want to investigate another church. So I don't know, maybe they're church shopping, or maybe they have a grudge against something happening at their church, but they feel they're missing something at the church they're going to. So they want to say, see, how is this group of Christians different? You know, and we often say we're not a denomination. We're not a group of men that have created a doctrine that we need to follow. We're just a bunch of folks that read the Bible and say, God says to do this, we're going to do it. And it's a breath of fresh air for a lot of folks who come from a very structured, religious, institutional kind of background.
And it's an all-volunteer organization. Now, that's not always possible. Sometimes preachers need to be paid. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9 at verse 14 gives us clear indication that preachers should be paid if they preach the gospel and if they need that extra support. But we also find at Acts 20 and verse 34 that Paul wasn't taking pay at that time. He said, I worked with my own hands. So we can also do that. But one of the things that we try to do is to help you with Bible correspondence courses. And these are free. All you have to do is call 410-761-3795. Enroll in one. You know, you might say, well, I don't know if I agree with your doctrine. These are Bible correspondence courses. If you disagree with the Bible, then you really need to sit down and think, does God exist? And if he does he reveal himself through the Bible? Because if he doesn't, throw the thing away. But if he does, then we need to be obedient to it. And so that's the reason for Bible correspondence courses on various subjects. You know that there's a wide diversity of opinion out there. When we start talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, there are people in the audience, some of whom will just say, you guys are just so dead wrong. You've quenched the Spirit. But we look to the Word of God for the Spirit. That's where we find the Spirit. And we realize that God says he's going to give it to us. But as we learn to walk in his way, as we dwell with him, we find out that, no, he does not do miraculous things today. And he doesn't do those things that we find that are gifts that were given back in New Testament times to show that the Scriptures were from him. But at the same time, if you'd like to study that, there's a Bible correspondence course on the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't practice tithing. There's a reason for that. That's an Old Testament thing. And in the New Testament, we find that they gave as they prospered. Amazingly enough, there are people out there who say, well, people won't give if you don't make them tithe. And there's just not enough money. Well, we have money to do the work that we do, to pay for this radio broadcast, and to support, in addition, 28 foreign evangelists who need this money, who don't have jobs that they can go to and make enough money so that they could preach without taking a wage. And the reason we do that is because we want you to know the truth about what the Scriptures say. So if your preacher's been talking about tithing, please recognize that he has a stake in this, you know. There's one of those things that when people are always on your back about how much you give, the reason is they get. And what we need to recognize is that the Lord is the one for whom we're doing all this work. And so we want you to know what the scriptures teach about tithing, because a lot of denominational preachers use it incorrectly to get large amounts of money, and sometimes they build huge buildings. Our building is adequate. It's a real nice building. I've always thought it was a very nice addition when we built a new one, 30 or 40 years ago. But as we think about that, I would encourage you to not put your money into buildings, but put your money into spreading the gospel. That's what the scriptures are about. Now, what about the New Testament church? When it comes down, you know, some groups will have bishops. And, of course, we know the Roman Catholic Church has a pope. The Presbyterian Church elects their bishops, but they have two classes. One is ruling and one is teaching. Well, the scriptures don't make that distinction. They're all teaching, not ruling. And so as we look at this, we need to understand that what we're trying to do is to clear up misconceptions. And we know that a lot of ministers listen to this program. They turn the radio on, they have it in the background. But what we're trying to do is to change Baltimore's attitude toward the scriptures. We want everyone to be saved, just like Jesus did. And the only way that we're going to do that is we're going to have to unite on a single doctrine. And we want that doctrine to be the one that's established by Jesus Christ and not by the Baptist Convention or the Methodist Synod or the Presbyterian Synod or
the Pope.
We want people to go to the scriptures. And when they find that their church is not doing what the scriptures say, we want them to change. Change that local group. Change it to all the way to where it is nothing but the church that the Lord established. Now, there are at least seven names given for the church in the scriptures, and you know, you might have heard some church say, well, this is the way. And you might have wondered, what are they talking about? Well, that's one of those scriptural names. Paul said he was of that sect called the way. So that's how they were known? All right, that's good enough. But at the same time, as we look at this, we don't want to choose a name that's not in the scriptures. And so people can get really enraptured with the name of a church. They can call it a destiny church, or they can call it a church on the rock, or they can, you know, they try to come up with something new, advertising gimmick.
Yeah, but even if you're at a church where it's a Baptist, Episcopal, a Presbyterian, you don't find that in the Bible. That should clue you in to say, well, why not? I don't see that word or that the name of that church in the Bible. I guess maybe it doesn't matter to a lot of people, but you should be curious on why that's not. And it can start an investigation on many things to say, well, what we do, that's not in the Bible. What we do, that's not in the Bible. Or what we do is in the Bible, to find out what's right or wrong. But it comes down to putting your faith in the scriptures.
You know, that's a real good question. Now, this is a question and answer program, but we're asking the question now. Why does your church call itself what it calls itself? Where is it? Is that because that's what the Lord wanted his church to be called? Or is that because some group of people got together and they said, oh, we're going to do this? You know, my daughter lived out in Denver for a long time. And she was attending a Church of Christ, but they had five families there who were known as the Founding Five, and they sort of ran things. And as you think about that, you say, wait a minute, is that found in the scriptures? And the answer is, well, only if they're following God. You know, when Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, said, be ye imitators of me, even as I am of Christ, we have to remember that we don't follow men, we follow God. And that's what we want for you. So if you'd like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course on the New Testament church, all you have to do is call 410-761-3795. Or alternatively, you can go to our website at gbchurchofchrist.com, hit the media button and go down, and you can download that entire course if you want to. So you have one of two ways to do it. You can sit down and say, well, I'll study this myself. And it's there to be used as sort of a guide so that you say, well, I want to know what the organization of the church is. Well, there are bishops and there are deacons and there are people. And you say, well, okay, I need to know who can be a bishop. Have you ever thought about that? And that's in the Lord's church. Now, if it's in your church, well, you have your way of electing them. You know, that's what the Presbyterians do. They just vote. Okay, let's hold up a vote. And they'll say, well, that guy's a nice guy, or he's a successful businessman, or we need some women in this thing to help out. So why don't we vote in some women there? And they say, no, we're not going to vote in any women. And they say, well, why not? Well, they'll start going to the scriptures sooner or later if someone says, why not? And then it'll usually cause a church division if there are a bunch of people say, well, I don't care what the Bible says. We need to have these. Times have changed. You've probably heard that. And so as you think about what your church does, what we want to do with you is to help you by simply sitting down and looking at the scriptures. When you call in and you ask a question, we want to know, what do the scriptures say? And people say, well, I don't like you condemning everybody else. We're not condemning everybody else. What we're doing is trying to get them to switch to follow God's will. You know, God's the one who's the judge. We're just these guys sitting here in this round this table here, and we talk about the Word of God. And as you think about this, you realize that you say, well, do you have 37 million members, or do you have 67 million members? And the answer is no, we don't. But we do have the Word of God. And wherever you go, that's really what we're interested in. So again, the number for a Bible correspondence course, you can have your answers reviewed and sent back to you. You can ask other questions. The number to call is 410-761-3795. If you have a question here that you'd like us to answer on the air, call us at 410-481-1400. That's 410-481-1400.
You know, Gary, I've had people ask me, and I'm talking about people in the Lord's church, ask, why are you all so rigid down there in Glen Burnie? Well, I can't see simplicity as being rigid. All we're doing is following the Word of God. And His Word is plain and simple. What to me is rigid is the fact that people won't follow his word. They will follow the dictates of men. And I've been accused of, they've accused us as a group of meddling in their business because we speak the truth. And I've asked folk if Paul was meddling when he wrote the letter to the Corinthian church about the things that they were doing, about their division, about trying to create other churches, about their immorality. And when he wrote his letter to the church at Rome, in fact, I've asked this question of these people: do you follow the letters that Paul has written? And they all answer me and tell me, yeah, we follow Paul's letters. When I ask, I say, is there anything in his letters that you do not follow? And they won't answer, because they know if they do, they will be going against the word of Christ. And when Paul wrote this letter to in 2 Corinthians in verse 11, and chapter 11, Paul said to the Corinthian church, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means that the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. This is how people go astray, because of the simplicity that is in Christ. He doesn't ask us to turn cartwheels up the aisle or run across the back of the pews, bring in instrument music. You know, when I was in the Baptist church, the song leader, the piano player tried to hold them up for more money. He wouldn't come in to play the piano or the organ because he wanted more money. And we sang a cappella. And the preacher had the gall to say, you know, that sounds good. Maybe we ought to do without a piano player. But they didn't do without a piano player. They went out and hired another one. They were doing God's word by accident, but didn't want to accept it. And this is the problem that we have today. We do accidentally sometimes, some churches will do God's word as they're supposed to do it, but they will not accept it. They will not go to the word of God for directions. They listen to some man, and whatever moves that man that day, that's what they do. And I'm not just talking about in the denominational world. I'm talking about in the Lord's church. We had a visitor not long ago, and someone told me that this visitor was the hired song leader of a certain church over there in Southwest Baltimore. And when I went to him about it, he said, yes. He said, I don't see anything wrong with it. I said, well, do you find it in the Bible? No, he couldn't find it in the Bible. He said, well, the preacher hired me. I said, well, did he have the authority to do that? And he said, well, yes, you need somebody to run things. I said, what's wrong with Christ running things? Well, you need a man. Show me that. Show me. If you have men, if you have someone to oversee the church, it's supposed to be according to God's word. And he said, appoint elders, and they're supposed to look out for our spiritual direction in the church. And we're supposed to appoint deacons to serve the elders and the congregation. But if you look at Acts the First Corinthians, the sixth chapter, the congregation is supposed to work with the elders and the deacons, and we are all supposed to be one. In Romans 2 and verse 11, Paul wrote, let there be no respect of persons among you. In other words, everyone is equal. But through laziness, people fall back and allow someone to take control. And a lot of times, if you look and read the Old Testament with all the kings that they had, the kings went astray and men will go astray. But if you do it according to the word of God, you will be okay.
You know, that's brings us to our first question here. By the way, the number here is 410-481-1400 if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment. It says, Solomon asked for wisdom from God and received it. Why did he marry foreign women who led him astray? And, of course, the best way for me to explain this is to let the Bible do it, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to David rather than Solomon because I'm fairly certain that the situation was the same. Now, David was a man after God's own heart, the way he styled in the scripture. And Solomon was going to follow God. Now, how did David, you know, he had Uriah killed, he married his widow because she was pregnant with his child, and then the child died. But let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 11. It says, then it happened in the spring at the time when kings go out to battle. Now, that tells us something. He says, here's the time, here's what David should have been doing, but David wasn't. Let's listen to what David was. That David sent Joab and the servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the sons of Ammon and besieged Reba, but David stayed in Jerusalem. He wasn't paying attention to what he needed to be doing. Now, when evening came, David arose from his bed and walked around on the roof of the king's house. He'd been laying in bed all day. It says, now at evening, David arose from his bed. This man was having a severe problem because he wasn't doing what he should be doing. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. Well, she's down there, no clothes on. She's washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful in appearance. You know, David could have stopped right there and said, you know, I need to focus my attention somewhere else. But he enjoyed the view. He just kept sitting there, that is one good-looking woman. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And somebody said, oh, this is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Well, turns out that David gets the idea, says, you know, her husband's gone. So he sends a messenger, and he took her. Sounds like some of these guys in the movie industry. You know, they sit there and they watch them for a while, and then they say, think I'll take that one. And what did he do? All this time, is he trying to serve God? No, he's laying about, staying up, and, you know, just, and what he got was, he saw a woman, he decided he would take her, and when she had purified herself from her uncleanness, she returned to her house. And the woman conceived, and she sent and told David and said, I'm pregnant. Oh, that's a bummer.
Uh-oh.
I mean, there it is. Her husband's off to war, and what's he going to do? Well, you can follow this through. He tries to cover it up. Sounds to me like the headlines right out of the newspaper today, doesn't it? I mean, there's all kinds of people running around saying, well, I didn't do that. And, you know, of course, there's some of them, well, some of them wise defend them, you know, Hillary did. And then on the other hand, there's some who haven't said anything. But, you know, it's a bad situation, isn't it? Here, and here is David. He was not doing what he ought to do. So when Solomon asked for wisdom for God and he received it, does it mean that we're always going to walk the straight and narrow? And the answer is we can be led away. We can get, you know, one person that I talked to said David was obviously in clinical depression. Well, I'm sure he was fairly depressed because he was sleeping all day long and walking around at night watching things. And here this woman is over there, and she thinks that she's fine, but it turns out, nope, evidently it was a good moonlight or something. And, you know, as you start looking at this, you say, well, there are a bunch of things that David did that were not wise. I mean, he didn't go to war like he should have. He was hanging around the house, sleeping all day, walking around and watching for something like this. And then he enjoyed it so much that he kept watching. And then he, you know, when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth evil. He had a strong desire. And when he lusted enough, he said, I think I'll see who she is. Maybe she'll come visit. And evidently she was willing. I don't know if it was because of the king or what, but this woman was willing. She came, and then they conceived a child. Well, most of you know the end of that story, but why did he marry foreign women who led him astray? There's the reason. He didn't have enough to do serving God, so he just decided he had enjoyed the view, and the more he enjoyed the view, the more he said, well, these women are beautiful, and of course, under the old covenant, God allowed the patriarchs, all of them, they had many wives. In fact, David was even given Saul's wives. And you sit there and say, well, that was all right with God? At that time, it was because of the kingdom. But things are changed now. And we still have problems with people doing the same thing. I mean, you can ask for wisdom for God. You can go to the scriptures, and you can do all you want. But if you don't follow them, you know, if you don't take God's advice when you hear it, you know, it's a bad scene.
It is. You know, there's so many lessons we can learn from these things that happen in the Bible. And I think David's a great way to start, because here he is, the father, going astray. And you could say the same thing. How could David cheat or go against God or be sexually immoral when he was after the heart of God?
Not only that, he killed the guy.
And it goes to just the weakness of men. Women failed him. Women failed Solomon as well. So we really need to be on guard as men, because it's such a temptation for men. And you see it today. So many, you know, men end up having some affair or something like that. All these ministers that you see are brought down by some illicit affair. It's a real concern for us men and the human part of us. So it happened to David. It happened to Solomon. But when you look at Solomon's life, and just in the very beginning, in 1 Kings chapter 2, it says, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. he charged Solomon with his son, saying, go in the ways of the earth, be strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways. Here's a guy telling his son, walk in his ways. Hey, Dad, you didn't do it. You know? So we may get this instruction from people that can't even do it themselves. So first of all, you know, it's not always when you're giving this advice, you need to live the life too. You can't be a hypocrite and give advice and think it's really going to stick. But we see Solomon developed his relationship with God, prayed for wisdom, and he got it. But wisdom, if you're the wisest man in the world, it still doesn't mean you can act foolish. And he did. And he took these wives. But another lesson to learn is this didn't happen overnight. This happened over a period of time. Solomon was very busy, as you said. He built the temple. It took years to do that. He built his house. It took years to do that. And so he reigned for 40 years, and well into his reign, he started taking these foreign wives. He took an Egyptian wife, right? By the end of all this, we can see there were women all over the place. He had but 700 wives, 300 concubines. He's dealing with 1,000 women. It's a little tough for one guy to do, but these women had foreign gods that influenced him. So he's pulling all this stuff into his environment. And don't you think he would be affected by that? Of course he would, because he started allowing all this stuff to go on, and that's pulling him away from God. So, you know, we can learn a lesson in the same way. You know, act a little foolish now. You keep going with it, it's gonna get you.
You know, there's another point that we might make here, and that is, I'm not sure why Bathsheba was up on the roof taking a bath. Obviously, there was a house down there, but she decided it was cool, or maybe she thought she might not be seen, or maybe she thought she would be seen. Who knows? But I will say this, that one of the things that happens when you start looking at these foreign wives that Solomon took, they led him astray. How did they do it? Well, women know how to attract men. And, hey, men are dumb enough to fall for it. that's what I want. And, you know, sometimes they don't use their brains. What we need to learn is that women have a responsibility, but men do too. You know, there's no such thing as a child doesn't get conceived one-sided. Now, you may say, well, there are women who can be conceived now through in vitro fertilization. Well, yeah, if you start interfering with what God is doing, you can sit there and say, all right, man's smart enough to do this now. But at the same time, there's a man involved somewhere there. You just don't get children from women only. And as you think about that, you realize that there are problems raising them, too. I saw in one of the papers last night, I read several of them, but there's a picture, and I kept looking at it, and I thought they were talking about some guys who had built a house. And as I looked at it, I thought, well, what's going on here? Well, it was two guys, and they'd built a house together, and it was evidently a real fantastic house. I guess it was in the Wall Street Journal. And as I kept looking at them and their children, I noticed that these two men had three daughters that they were raising. And they were married in California. You know, you can do things like that. And as I looked at that, I thought, now, what's wrong with this picture here? Here are children who have no role models in the home. Two men have adopted three daughters, and they're all young girls. And you say, what's wrong with this picture? And then you look to the scriptures, and you understand immediately what's wrong with this picture. Now, you might say, you know, you're talking about hate speech there. People are going to accuse us of that. But what we're doing is we're going to the Word of God. Because when you start looking at that, you know that's a recipe for disaster. It already is for the two men who are involved in this relationship. And we know from Romans 1 that God condemns that. But these three little girls who are there, what's going to happen to them? Who provides a role model? And more than that, who gives them their evening baths? And you say, well, their daddies love them. Those guys are not their daddies. Now, they may be raising them. And you say, well, it's good for them to raise those. And as I thought about that, I thought about the kinds of things that I have seen with men who adopted children and then abused them. And we realize God had a really good plan to take a man and a woman and put them together and say, this is what I want. And, you know, as we come to the end of things, as we start looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 2, he says, because of immoralities, let each man have his own wife and every woman her own husband. That's what we follow in this country, or did up until a few years ago when, well, a lot of people started pushing for their right to do wrong. The number to call here is 410-481-1400.
The caller asks, can women be ordained as a minister? In the worldly church, they can be anything they want, but in the church that Christ is the head of, they cannot be a minister. And he addresses this in a couple of places. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 37, he said, 34, verse 34, let your women keep silence in the churches. He specifically says in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And then Paul emphasizes this down in verse 37. No doubt some people were getting upset because he said this. And he says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. In other words, this comes from God. I'm just a conduit. And then we have over here in 1 Timothy, the second chapter of Paul giving instructions to Timothy. He said, Let the woman, at verse 11, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, not to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. This was in order to keep order in the churches. And this is what I was saying earlier about God's words being, his directions being plain and simple. And it's not that he's against women. He is not against women, but he had to set the church in order. As this is what Paul told Titus, that he left them in Crete so that he could set in order those things that were lacking. Every organization needs structure, and Christ's organization is to be structured according to his word. He's not anti-women. He's not anti-children. He is just setting things in order. In the denominational world, yes, men can be, women can be ordained. But I do know that in some churches wearing Christ's name, that they have women ministers. We have a well-known news journalist who belongs to one of those institutions. His father is an elder in the Church of Christ, but they have women preachers, they have women elders and women deacons, and they see nothing wrong with it. Now, this man is extremely or highly educated. When he reads something, he has to get the same meaning from it that I get from it. There's no way he can go to the Bible and get authority for what he's doing in his congregation, what his daddy is doing in his congregation. So if you are in a congregation where women have taken the lead and there are men there, you're in the wrong church.
You know, I'd like to add something to what Larry was saying, because to be real careful, we have lots of callers that listen. Can they be ordained as a minister? And the first thing is appointed, and then the word minister comes up. Now, what Larry's talking about is one who speaks in the assembly, and that's usually what people refer to as a minister. But then you get someone who says, well, my version of the Bible says in Romans 16:1 that Phoebe was a minister or a deaconess of the church that's in Crete. She was a servant. And so This word diakonos, from which we get this, and I guess one of the reasons that's going to be the topic of part of the lesson on Sunday evening is, what about ministers? You know, what are the qualifications? Well, as you think about the word minister, you have to say, all right, what do you mean by that? Do you mean the speaker in the assembly? The answer is no, she can't be. But what about one who is a helper of many? Well, we know that Euodia and Syntyche were co-workers with Paul. And so as we look at this word minister, we find that this Greek word, diakonos, is used of servants. Some are appointed to serve the church. And so this word ordained, in Acts the 6th chapter, they selected seven men, pick out seven men whom we may put in charge of this task, whom we may ordain, appoint to do this. And so they picked out these seven men. Well, then you look at the qualifications for a deacon in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and you find he needs to be married to one woman, can't be married to two. And that was a time when a lot of men, a lot of the Jews were married to two. Paul says, nope, can't be married to two, got to be married to one. Some of them had three, four, 12, you know, there was no limit to it as long as they could afford to support them. So when you look at this term deacon, you say, well, one who's appointed by the church has to be appointed by the rules laid down by Paul there in 1 Timothy chapter 3. But what about all of us? Well, we find that we all serve. We are servants of God. So we're ministers, but the church does not appoint us. So I want to be sure that when you're sitting down and you're looking at this, and if there's a real Sharpie there in the Greek out there saying, well, you know, they could be servants of the church, yes, but not in an official capacity, because the rules are laid down there in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. Now, if you say, well, and Larry pointed out, you know, these churches that decide, well, we're going to have women deacons and women preachers and women elders, and you say, well, where do you get the authority for that in the Scriptures? And they'll say, well, Phoebe. Well, when you look at Phoebe, you have to say, well, how did she serve? Yes, she was a servant, but how did she serve? Not in an official capacity, because otherwise there would be a contradiction between 1 Timothy chapter 3 and the rules that are laid down there, and Phoebe being one of those who's appointed by the church. So you sit there and you say, you have to realize that unless you want to bring in a contradiction, and in which case, if you have one, you can have all you want. The book's not worth the paper it's written on. Because if it contradicts itself and it claims to be from God, we have a real problem. By the way, the number is 410-481-1400.
You know, Gary, I'm glad you clarified the point in which the restrictions that God put on us apply, because I don't think there's a more hotly contested debate in the church today, or sometimes in Baltimore, because we get the question all the time about women being able to preach or be ordained. That ordained thing is another subject that we could spend some time on, because it's sort of a man-made thing where most ordinations, you have to be qualified, you have to go to a seminary, you have to have a degree. That's all man-made stuff. So we're talking about appointed a minister, because that's what they did in the Bible. They appointed ministers. But, you know, it's not a question of you guys are chauvinistic or you're denying women. When I see what the Bible says, everyone's equal, and you shouldn't treat one different than another. Well, listen, when you read the Bible, God has set it up that there's different, men are different from women, and men are the head of the family. And it's pretty well clarified from Adam and Eve on down that God has a structure for the family. He's got responsibilities for the man. He's got responsibilities for the women. He's also set up positions in the church that have qualifications. Now, minister is one of those ones that we don't have something that's saying a minister needs to be a man in the church. We do see deacon, elder, that sort of thing, pastor. We do see qualifications for them. So if you don't see qualifications for a woman pastor, then why can't a woman be a pastor? Well, Larry, you put it pretty well, that we have scriptures that say in the assembly, women are not to teach men or have the position of authority. And it's not a something that we need to say, well, that's just your opinion. It's not. It's what we just read. So we have to understand.
I'd like to point out, we're all as affected by this as any other. You know, our wives are affected by it. And we look at these things and we say, well, are we taking a correct stand? And that's what Nick is talking about here.
Yeah, it was the same way when before I was married. I couldn't be a deacon because I didn't meet the qualifications. I didn't feel, hey, you're denying me the possibility I could get a title in the church. No, I didn't meet the qualifications. And it wasn't discrimination against me, and I didn't feel all that. I read the Word of God, and I said, this is the way God wants it. So at the right time, if I'm in the right place or whatever, and I meet the qualifications, and the congregation determines that the needs are there, then maybe I'll have that position. And today I do. So we have to understand it's the same way. This is the way God set it up. And, you know, it really comes down to the authority of the Scriptures. Are we going to say the Scriptures are going to make the call on the way our church is set up? Or who's going to be in this position or who's going to be in that position? Or are we just going to get together as a group of people and decide we like this better? And so often that's what happens. They say we like this better. So the implications of that are you have strayed from the Word of God. So is it going to be my will or is it going to be God's will? So it really, really comes down to that. It's not a matter of restriction. It's not a matter of, hey, times have changed and we want this. It's not a matter of look in the Scriptures and there were prominent women. Yes, there were. Phoebe was. Priscilla was. They were prominent women. But we don't see them being ministers. We see them having a place in the kingdom, but not ministers.
I would put it as preachers. As
preachers,
ministers,
yeah.
Yes.
We don't see
because
we don't see
that
them.
Word minister, again, in the Greek, it's diakonos. And so as we
it
look
could
at
be, right. It could be that there were ministers, but we don't see them in the assembly preaching
in
to
fact,
the church.
We even find it forbidden.
Yes.
And
yes.
So it's more emphatic. You know, we want to do what God has authorized, but at the same time, God not only failed to authorize this, he absolutely said it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, Nick, you said something that most people use when they're trying to justify error. Times have changed, and we're supposed to change with it. But then when you throw out to them Matthew 24 and verse 35, where Jesus says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away, then you get a funny look. You know, then they'll come up with another excuse. Well, you know, we're supposed to do all things according to his word and do all things for his glory. Yes, you are. But those things you are supposed to do for his glory, he tells you what they are. You don't go make them up. And another thing people like to do, they like to give special meanings to certain words. This word ordained, when they use that word ordained, that word leaps up high in the air. I've had people get angry with me. So who are you to tell me anything about the Scriptures and you're not even an ordained minister? Well, the word ordained simply means appointed or prepared. That's all it means. It's not used in the Bible in a special way that elevates an elder or deacon or a minister above everyone else. It's just plain old English language. That's all it is. And we are supposed to read and for understanding God's word as to what we are supposed to do. Not give everything a special meaning. You know, this is what they do with the word Baptist. And I ask people about the word Baptist. I say, have you ever seen that word Baptist in the Bible in the plural form? And, you know, and they give me a funny look. Why should it be in the plural form? Well, because it's not. You are using it as in the plural form when you say I'm a Baptist in the Baptist church. That means that there's more than one. Where in the Bible, the only Baptist was John the Baptist, and he told people, do not follow after me. Follow the one who comes after me. But yet people still call themselves Baptists. Most people, when they call themselves Baptists, they don't know what they're, why they're calling themselves that. I had an aunt one time, and I asked her, why do you call yourself a Baptist? And this was many years ago before I even thought about going to church. And she looked at me, she thought a while. She said, because that's what we do.
You know.
And it was, I wanted to laugh, but I couldn't because I had to show respect. Gary?
By the way, the number's 410-481-1400. And,
you know, while we're at it, why don't we throw out all the arguments that we get? One, you know, that we're denying the Holy Spirit, which can work through a woman. And why are you guys quenching the Spirit? Or, you know, women taught in the Bible. They can teach. Yes, women did teach in the Bible. We see they can teach. We don't see them preaching to the congregation, to the assembly. You know, times have changed, Larry. Mm-hmm. That's one of those ones that I think I could rationalize or justify just about any behavior in the church if I'm going to use that. It's such a slippery slope. If we're going to say times have changed, we can do this now. How do you think, you know, God would feel about it? Well, it's what we want. It always comes down to it's what we want, or it's what's going to make us money, or it's something like that. We see the principle numerous times in the Old Testament when people tried to worship differently from what God wanted. They strayed. They did something a little different. You know, they didn't do the instructions of God. Consequences? Never good. So we see that too. The other scripture that inevitably we'll get called with is Colossians 3:11, and it talks about there is no longer women or men or slave or free or this or that. We're all equal in Christ. It's not talking about this situation. Mm-hmm. We do understand. We all come to Christ. We all come to God. We're all sinners. We're all in the same position. We all need to get saved. We all need to have our sins forgiven, whether slave or free, male or female. We have to understand it in the context that we have. So, you know, there's a lot of arguments out there. If you're fooling yourself by using one of those, shame on you. Get back into the scriptures and see what God says.
You know, it's a good point. If you're a deacon or a deaconess, or if you're a bishop, or if you're a minister, and you start looking at these terms in the Bible way, you need to ask yourself, do I meet the approval of God in this? I mean, I've known a lot of women ministers, and I've only known one who said she gave it up. And that happened many years ago on this radio program. And she said, I used to be a minister, and she meant a preacher. And I said, what happened? She said, well, I read 1 Timothy chapter 2, and she said, I just couldn't answer that one. And she said, as a result, I stopped. And I said, so what do you do now? She said, well, I serve God, but she said, I want to serve him the right way. And then, too, I had a fellow that obeyed the gospel as a result of this. And I said, Billy, where's your wife? She doesn't ever come with you. And he said, no, she won't. And I said, why not? He said, she's a preacheress. And I said, a what? And he said, she's a preacheress. And I said, oh. He said, yeah, and she won't leave that. Said, she likes that. Said, it's a big thing to her.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are a lot of things that we look at and we say, well, wait a minute, how are we supposed to deal with this? And the answer is according to God's word, because if we don't, then where are we going to stop?
We're not saying it's easy, too. Well, we had a caller a couple of weeks ago. Who was the minister? Joyce something or other, who's leading so many
Joyce
people
Myers.
To God. Yeah, she's doing so much good, leading so many people to God and inspiring millions and all this stuff. You know, all that's great, but she's not following what God says if she's preaching to her assembly. So, you know, just because it's all positive, it's all successful, and it looks like, hey, they've got a lot of numbers, and every must be right because, you know, they're more popular than you are, that's not what God wants.
You know, we have the same situation that comes up about Billy Graham. Billy died not too long back, and some people thought he was the greatest minister. I've read several different obituaries on him, and you know, one of the fellows said, my dad got in trouble because he went down and he went to one of Billy's crusades and served as one of the people to organize, and he got in trouble with his local Presbyterian church. Because it turns out that at the end of his crusades, Billy, in order to get more people, said, just go back to the church that you're in. That'll be fine. Yeah. And so Billy didn't preach the gospel. Billy preached, you just do whatever you want and say that you believe in Jesus Christ. And if you say that you believe in Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what else you do, you're fine. But as we look at the scriptures, you know, 1 John chapter 1, I'm just so reminded of this when I think about Joyce Myers or when I think about Billy Graham or Jimmy Swaggart or James Baker. And I realize they had some problems that Joyce and Billy didn't, but this is the message we'd have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now, if you say, I'm in fellowship with those folks who are in the Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, Masonic, Mason, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, just as long as you believe in Jesus Christ, you're all right. You can draw followers. I mean, everybody says, you know, oh, yeah, I need to change my ways. And they go down and they get religion. And they feel bad about what they've done. And a friend of mine who came out of the Pentecostal church said, oh, I've seen what Pentecostals do on Monday. Said, I see them get the Holy Spirit on Sunday. But he said, on Monday, they're different people. And they're that way until it comes Sunday again. Well, there's some people who are, you know, one day at a time, folks, and Sunday's the only one, and that's only if they feel good. What we are asking you to do is to look to the Scriptures, to study the Scriptures, and, you know, if you're one of those that I just named, you know, the Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness.
Lutheran,
yeah. If you are one of those, try to find out. What does the Bible say about it? And if you can't find the answers that you need there about what the Bible will say about it, give us a call. You know, we'll be here again next week.
I would say talk to your minister first. See if they have any answers. If they do, give us a call and let us know, because we want to see what the Scriptures say about it.
But no,
they
sure
probably will not give you a scriptural answer.
Yeah.
No, don't do that, because what they'll do is tell you not to listen to us. And most people listen to them when they receive that order from them.
We've even heard of Seventh-day Adventists. One lady said that her minister started preaching longer, so that they couldn't get home and listen to us. Well, you know, it's sort of a sad situation, but don't follow us. Follow God. And that's the whole thing. You need to search the Scriptures. Don't do it because we said it. Do it because God said it. And that's what will get you into heaven. Now, as we come to the close of the program, I want to remind you that this is brought to you by the church that meets at 2 Eastern Street in Glen Burnie. You can get to us by going south on the Beltway to I-97, and the very first exit down there, make a left at the exit at the end of the ramp, and then go to the very next light, make another left, go to the very next left that you can make, and it'll be into our parking lot. We have Bible study at 9:30, and we assemble at 10:30, and again at 6 in the evening every Sunday, and then we meet for a period of Bible study on Wednesday evening at 7:30. And a lot of people say, boy, you folks get together a lot to study your Bibles. Yes, that's what we do, because God's Word is what's going to lead us to the right way. And by the way, you need to have constant instruction, constant reminder, because the two folks that we talked about today that are good examples of, they just didn't have enough constant reminders, David and Solomon, and they let their wives carry them away into strange doctrines. Don't do that. Don't be led astray. You know, you need to follow God's way. And so join with us. And again, if you have a question or a comment, write it down so that next week when we're here, you can give us a call or send it to us. You can go to our website and send it to us at gbchurchofchrist.com. We're glad that you've been here, and we hope that you'll join us again next week. Until then, we'd like to bid you a very pleasant good afternoon.
WWIN Baltimore. WWIN HD.